Let's open up to John chapter 8. We'll pick up from where we left off, from verse 13. Truth sets free. Truth sets free. Jesus sets free in this text. You're there? John chapter 8, verse 13. Let's continue this conversation that Jesus had with the Pharisees and the Jews. The Pharisees therefore say to him, "You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true." Jesus answered and said to them, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from and where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh, I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me." And they say to him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father." This is what Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. So we continue the conversation that we started in the beginning of chapter 8. Jesus had been at the center of a dispute over a woman who was caught in adultery. They brought her to Jesus and asking him for judgment. But Jesus ignored them at the beginning, bent down and wrote a few things on the ground. And everybody who peeped to see what Jesus was writing left. He told the woman, "Where are your accusers?" She said, "They're nowhere." He told her, "You are free. I don't judge you. I don't condemn you to death. But make sure you don't go back to that sinful lifestyle." And he told all of them, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of life." Basically, he was telling them, "You are in darkness. You don't see clearly. You are lost. And I'm bringing you light, the light of justice, the light of truth, the light of life." Says, "Who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And then in verse 13, they respond. They're saying, "But you're bearing witness of yourself. Your witness is not true." In verse 14, Jesus tells them, "Even if I bear witness of myself, even if I am the only one who testifies of who I am, it still stands because I'm speaking the truth. Up to now, do we find any lies in Jesus Christ? Has he told any lies? No. But he tells them, I'm actually not alone. My Father testifies about me. He's the one who sent me." And they knew that. They had that at the baptism. He says, "In my witness, I can judge and my judgment is righteous. I can condemn and I'm true. Nobody can contend against my judgment. I am not alone. I am with the Father." And then they talk back to Jesus, asking him, "Where is your Father?" Now, they're really doing that to insult him. They knew who Jesus' father was. First of all, they knew his earthly adopted father, Joseph. He grew up there. They knew who the real father was. They knew he was from above. He wasn't just a son of Joseph. He was the Son of God. And he tells them, "If you knew my Father, then you would know me." He really continues to tell them that you are in the darkness. You don't understand. You have no idea what is happening. And you need to come out of that darkness. And he really almost winds up his teaching in the temple. And then he's walking away. In verse 21, they follow him. Jesus said to them again, "I am going away." So as he was winding up this teaching, he was also walking away from the temple. And he tells them, "I'm going away and you will seek me. and will die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins. But if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Then they say to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I have told you from the very beginning. I have many things to say to you and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him, from the Father. At that time they did not understand that he was speaking to them about the Father. Then Jesus in verse 8 said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Jesus finally, from verse 21 onwards, confronts them with the reality of life and death. He says, all right, enough of this argument. All right, by the way, you can argue about theology all day, all month, all year. But the fact is this, and we see it in Scripture. When we talk about Jesus Christ, it is life and death. There's nothing in the middle. You receive him, it's life. You reject him, it's death. Have you ever argued about these things with Muslims and with other religions? They will try to talk and talk. They're actually almost trained to argue. Just like these Pharisees. But this is the point. Confront them with a matter of fact that Jesus is either life or death. You believe in him, you will live. You reject him, he tells them, you will die in your sins. Now, most people sober up when you actually talk about life and death. You can talk about who God is and who Jesus is, and you will talk and talk, but you come to the point of, all right, is what you're believing taking you to heaven or hell? Then they almost sober up, just like these men. Good number of them right there believe. Nobody likes death. Death is painful. Nobody wants to go through it. And when he mentions that, they're finally seeing something. The light is on. They believed. And he says there in verse 28, that when you crucify me, then you will know the truth. And a lot of Jesus' haters believed in him after he was crucified and after he rose from the dead. That was true. They finally realized even death could not hold him captive. He must be God. Remember the witness of the Roman soldier? This is surely the Son of God. Remember the torn temple curtain? The curtain that separated the people from God, the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant was torn. They finally realized he is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. And that happened. And the conversation goes in verse 31. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, verse 33, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will set us free? Jesus answered them saying, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides in the house forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen in my Father, and you do what you have seen in your Father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's descendants, children, you would have done the works of Abraham. You would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham never did this. You do the deeds of your father. Now even confronts them harder. I say to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he who sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You have your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it, father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why don't you believe? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not from God. And the Jews answered and said to him, do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered them, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. And the Jews say to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets who are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It's my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he's your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be like a liar to you. But I know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. And the Jews say to him, you are not yet even 50 years old and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them. And so passed by. Long conversation. One story. After confronting them to the fact of it's a matter of life and death here, they try to talk him out of that. They try to divert the talk. And he says to them, look here, getting them back to the life and death talk, you are enslaved to sin. And I am the one who can free you. You are deceived. You are following Satan himself. And if I make you free, you will really be free from sin. And they say, well, we've never been in bondage. Abraham is our father. We are Jews. We are not slaves. And he tells them, a slave does not live in the house. It's a son who lives in the house. I am the son, and I'm the only one who can let you in. So if the son makes you free, you are free indeed. The son had the authority to set the slave free. I'm talking about them being Abraham's descendants. Are you saved? Are you a Christian because your great-grandfather was a Christian? No. You have to profess the faith yourself. In fact, taking that analogy and that excuse that Abraham is their father, he tells them, look at the life of Abraham. Did Abraham try to kill God's messengers? No. Who is he known for? What is he known for, rather? Faith. He's the father of the faith, the faithful. Abraham was really hospitable, faithful, and obedient to God. And he tells them, if Abraham was really your father, then you should be also faithful to God. You should actually love me. You would be loving me. But you hate me. If God were your father, you'd love me, he tells them. And then he finally gives them the hardest. Your father is the devil. You are deceived. You are blind. You are following a wrong master. And then they accuse him of being demon-possessed. Now, look at the number of times they insulted Christ. They first of all insulted him because he didn't have a father as an insult. You don't have a father. And they said, you're born of fornication. You're born out of sexual immorality. And they tell him, you are demon-possessed. They insult him that he was a Samaritan, a half-Jew. They disrespected the Samaritans, the half-Jews, the north. And then again they say, now we know that you have a demon. Now, who among you can take in such insults before you turn red? Some of us only get offended once and we turn blue and purple and pink. Jesus was insulted multiple times, and they are really trying to get him to do something wrong. But he's God, he cannot do anything wrong. His God is patient, he can never run out of patience. He's merciful. He really tries to draw them to the truth. He tells them, look here, I have no demon. Demon-possessed people don't talk like me. Some are not even able to talk at all. Have you seen people who are demon-possessed? They're out of their mind. I'm not even seeking my glory. I'm not taking credit for this. I am trying to present to you the God that you should know, the Father. They tell him, are you greater than Abraham? The answer is yes. He tells them, Abraham lived and rejoiced to see my day. He's basically telling them, I was there before Abraham, and actually I met Abraham, and he was happy to meet me. Read Genesis 12 onwards. I think to Genesis in the 30s of the chapters. Multiple times God appeared to Abraham, God himself. In fact, in James chapter 2, verse 23, James referring to Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was accounted him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. He's telling them, you want to be really like Abraham? He was my friend. You should be my friends. You're my enemies. And he tells them, before Abraham was, I am. He uses the name that God uses to express his self-existence. I am who I am. Remember in Moses' day, chapter 3, verse 14, when God was sending Moses to free the Israelites in Egypt, Moses wanted to be really sure, so he asked God, I can go, but who has sent me? Who do I tell the Egyptians that sent me? The voice of the burning bush, tell them, I am who I am. I am self-existent. He uses the same phrase, and they are very familiar with that phrase, by the way. They know the story of Moses and the burning bush. They know their story of redemption from Egypt. And they get offended. They want to stone him, but his hour has not yet come. He leaves the temple. They are going to interact again. Let's get back to verse 31. As really the center of Jesus' confrontation and teaching to his listeners, especially to those who believed. He says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. He's talking to those who have believed in him. He's not talking to non-believers. He's talking to you and I. If you stay with my word, you are my followers, you are my disciples, you are my learners, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Have you ever been deceived and eventually found out the truth? Have you ever been conned around town? All of us have. Like, this city is a city of con men. Everywhere you can be conned about everything. I remember I was conned downtown, Owino Market. This guy has a nice pair of trousers for really cheap, 5,000 shillings. It's like, wow, that's so cheap. Let me pay for it. So I give the guy the money. So he goes behind the stall and comes back and gives me the polythene bag, thinking it was the trousers that I paid for. It was not. When I got somewhere, I really wanted to look at the trouser, but it was a rug in there. There's a funny story. Somebody comes to church here, so they took a boarder home. So in between the journey, the rider says, you know, I've run out of fuel, so you get off. So he tilts the bike. You know how they do that? They tilt the bike to get the fuel in, the injection system. And the guy gets back on his bike and then tells him, do you have a phone? I don't have a phone, and I need to see some cables in here. So he tilts the bike again, gets this guy's phone, turns it on, had a torch, and then gets back on the bike and really rides off. He ran away with the guy's phone. And I was thinking, this is unbelievable. He just watched the guy, he was just amazed the guy took his phone just like that. Let me say this. In Adam, we are all deceived. We're all duped and conned. The original lie was in the Garden of Eden. If you eat this, you'll be like God. And yet God has said, you know, just don't touch it. Don't eat it. But the enemy came and said, you know what? God just doesn't want you to be wise. And we were duped to eat something that we weren't supposed to eat, and we fell. And from that point on, we were all deceived. All of us, lost, blind. Thank God he had a plan to come and help out. We're all sold off to sin. Enslaved to sin, he tells them. Now, first of all, he tells them about the fact of the decision you're making is about life and death here. And they're thinking, ah, for us, we are free. We are saved because we are great-grandchildren of Abraham. He tells them, no way. You are sold to sin. You are enslaved by sin. You may not be a practical slave. You're working for somebody for free by force. But you're serving sin. And that is the biggest slavery ever. When we study history, the people who perpetrated slave trade were actually enslaved to sin themselves. They were slaves themselves. You heard about the young man who walked into a church just because they were black and shot the pastor and 8 others? Deceived. I mean, terrorists. Honestly, can you be a hero by killing other people? They're deceived. Politicians. You know, they're all deceived, and they deceive in return. And the entire humanity is deceived in Adam. And Jesus says that is the biggest slavery that you are sold into. And I've come to give you the truth that will get you out of that prison. And the truth that is going to set you free is actually what I am telling you now. My word. To the believers and non-believers, it tells them, you have to remain in the truth to be free. A lot of people think that this Jesus thing is too hard. So they drop it. They're like, that's too hard. They drop it, they wander off, and the next time you find them, they're in a far worse state than before. They thought that freedom in Jesus is not enough. Or at least this is too limiting. They wanted really freedom for loose living. And they go out loose living and they get so destroyed. A lot of Christians keep the Bible so far away from them. And they think they can live a life Life of freedom is not there. There are those who just like parts of the Bible. They're called seeker-friendly churches. We only like the nice parts, the parts that make us happy, the parts that describes us as kings and princes and heads and conquerors. We don't like the other parts. They think they're free. They're really lost. I mean, you know what's going around the world? People are now in the church accepting lies. They're accepting sin as normal. Just because they only take a little bit of the word. They don't take the whole of it. And Jesus is telling them the only way to freedom from slavery to sin is everything that I say. Everything, every word that I say, you have to pay attention to. You have to listen. And when you listen to me, he tells them, you will know the truth. I read about a man who was jailed for 12 years. He was actually given a life sentence. But in the 12th year, they discovered that there was an error in his trial. It was not him who committed the crime. It was his dad who committed the crime in his car. So the truth was out. The guy was set free. Practically, he left prison. For us, when a similar prison, the prison of the enemy, the prison of lies, the prison of immorality, the prison of all sorts of evil. And Jesus walks in and says, I can set you free. Do you want to be free? And we're like, yeah, we want to be free. Who wants to be in prison? And this is what he says. If you want to be really free, you have to keep this close to you. You have to listen to every word that I say. You have to know what I say about everything. It's not just going to Jesus Christ seasonally or periodically or regularly. It is staying with him all day. And that is the only way to freedom, by the way. There's no other. We cannot free ourselves from any prison. Neither can anything free us. There's a lot of cults. They'll offer you nice things and happiness and whatever it is they offer. They all don't work. Nothing really works. Only Jesus sets us free. And he tells them, do you know why I'm the only one who sets you free? Because I'm the Son of God. I live in his house. Anybody has a slave? I mean, these guys knew the idea of slavery in Jesus' day. Every Jew almost had a slave in their house to do everything they want to do themselves. They didn't pay them and they were forced to work. Only the person in the household had the authority to tell the slave, you know what, you don't have to work anymore. You can go home. And that's Jesus Christ. He is in heaven. He is with the Father. And he is the one who has the authority to say, you are free. If you want freedom, it's right now. You can go. The promise of freedom is to those who abide, who listen to, who stay with everything that God has to say. Not half, not the majority, everything. Because if you just leave out a little bit, you can still be deceived. You can be duped. You can be carried off. In fact, most people who, first of all, were Christians and ended up being cultic or at least even backsliding, if you use that term, only have taken in a little bit. The people who are safe from any deception are those who take everything. Everything that God has to say is the only path to freedom from sin. You will be made free, he says. I mean, who doesn't want to be free? Who doesn't dream of a world where everybody is free from sin? How can we know the truth? Through his word. How can we know something is not true? We have to hold it in one hand and hold the Bible in the other hand. So you're saying this, but the Bible says this, oh, that's a lie. Right? In Hosea, one of the reasons the people were lost is they were ignorant. They didn't have knowledge of the truth. And the moment you do not know the truth, you will be duped. Have you heard about, you know, these corny stories in Kampala? Oh, there was some Japanese going to the airport. Their car crashed. We stole the diamond, but it's impure diamond. Just give us $5 million. You go purify it and sell it for more. It ends up to be what? Candle wax. But you do not know what diamond looks like. How many of you know what diamond looks like? None of us. Until we know what diamond looks like, then we can know the fake diamond. Not everything that glitters is diamond. Even glass glitters, right? It's not diamond. Some stones glitter, they're not diamond. So we only are free from deception if we know the real truth. So that when there's something that looks like candle wax, you know, oh, that's candle wax, that's not diamond. I know what diamond looks like. In fact, I'm told in American banking training, the way they can detect a fake currency with a real currency is that they are taken into this room with lots of dollars, millions, and all they have to do is touch them one by one. And they can tell a fake currency just by the touch. But if you do not know the true currency by the touch, you're going to be duped. You remember Pastor Brian Kelly? One time he was given 450 fake dollars. This is an American. He didn't even know the difference between the... He was so angry. It was like, I'm an American that got fake dollars. I didn't even know it. We need to be so familiar with the truth that when there is a lie, we can detect it. In John chapter 14, verse 6, we know this verse, don't we? Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's saying something similar to these guys. You want to be free from your sin? Yes. I am the only way out. I am the fullness of truth that can free you. I am life. And we who are followers of Jesus Christ are called to continuously abiding is a constant life with the truth. It's not just visiting the Bible every once in a while. It's all the time getting familiar with what God has to say so that we can weed out all the lies. And we also have to know the nature of our enemy. He's a liar. Whenever you hear a lie, you should know where it's coming from. It's coming from the pit of hell. And the one thing about our enemy is that he never gives up. He's always trying to lie. He's always lying. If you escape a lie today, he'll try to offer you another lie tomorrow. That's why people are given into deception. If you fail to listen today to him, he'll give you another offer tomorrow that looks really nice. And you may fall to it. The only way you can keep away from deception is through the truth that Jesus presents here, through listening to his entire word. In John chapter 17, Jesus is praying. The whole chapter is the prayer that Jesus said for all of us to believe. And in verse 7 of John chapter 17, he said, bring to the Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. That word basically means set them apart by your truth. Truth sets us apart for God. If you want to set yourself apart for God, you have to stay in his truth. Because his word is truth. Everything he says is true. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 4, this is the apostle who is writing this gospel here. He later on writes three small books, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 4, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He's really writing with a father's heart. We're celebrating Father's Day. How many of you parents wouldn't be filled with joy if you know that your children are walking in truth? All of us would. How about if you hear that they are walking into deception, bring sadness. I mean, none of us wants anybody to be lost in deception. Not even a friend, not even an enemy. You wish for them to come to the truth and be free. And so is our Father. We bring Him joy. No greater joy, the Bible describes, than walking in the truth. When we walk in the truth, God is smiling. God is happy. And when Jesus mentions the enemy in this passage, we should be reminded that it's a fight. Going towards the direction of truth is having to fight everything around us, all the deception and all the influence that the enemy brings. We have our own flesh to fight, don't we? This flesh tells us, go the other direction. Go sin some more. It's nice, it's pleasurable. The world, full of deception, the same thing. Is there any true advert that you've heard of? Can you have a better life with more beer in your life? Can you wash your clothes in just one wash? Is that true? I mean, the world is just deceptive everywhere. Can you really have a better life with just a better car? You'll have more money to spend on fuel. Everything is deceptive out there. And we can easily be sold out to it. And a lot of Christians are. And for example, a lot of Christians are actually sold out to greed in the name of prosperity. It's really greed. How come you want more than you can even use in this life? It's our selfish nature. In the name of all, God has blessed us with millions of money. So what? It's just greed disguised. I mean, and so many other things. Some churches don't even teach the Bible, and it's a church. Deceived, lost. And that's why we stick to it. People may call us boring, but we are so free, right? We stay in the truth. People will call us dull, and you need to do some exciting things, make people lift chairs, and we won't do that. That is a whole new slavery of its own. I mean, those people who go excite themselves, lift chairs, you ask them, so what did you learn today? And they'll tell you, well, the word wasn't for me today, you know. It was for somebody else. There's actually a person, true story, a person who goes to one of those exciting churches. I've been there for over 2 years, and they say, I've been here for 2 years in this church, and I've learned nothing. And each time I tell somebody that, come on, I'm not learning anything, the person tells me, you know, that wasn't your Sunday. Your Sunday is coming. Your word is coming, maybe next week. I mean, we have the privilege to learn this word every day, all week, every Sunday, every Wednesday. And in it, we are on our way to freedom. Ultimate freedom is freedom from sin into heaven. And that's where we're going. And while we're going there, the Bible says we are bringing God joy by staying in His truth. We all want a life of freedom. Freedom from sin especially. We have a way out. Are you committed to the truth of Jesus Christ? Are you abiding in His truth? Are you staying there? Isn't that challenging? Because the moment you depart from it, trouble. Terrible trouble. Nobody wants to be in trouble. All of us wants to be safe. And safety is in the truth. Jesus offers us freedom from sin. Freedom from slavery to sin. Freedom from deception. Freedom from darkness. Freedom, indeed, he says. One Christian writer says, the unattended garden will soon be overrun with weeds. The heart that fails to cultivate truth and root out error will shortly be a wilderness. Can I read that again? The unattended garden will soon be overrun with weeds. The heart that fails to cultivate truth and root out error will shortly be a wilderness. If we fail to stay in the truth, soon we'll be grown with weeds, overgrown with weeds, and shortly you can't find your way anywhere, lost within your weeds. So pray that we make the commitment to continuously stay in the truth, to abide in the truth as Jesus' followers. He says, "You're my disciples, you abide in the truth, and I will make you free. And when I set you free, you are really free." Isn't it nice to be in Jesus Christ? And maybe somebody here who is still in bondage to sin, and you really want to get out, you're in the right place to hear this message. Jesus offers you freedom. Just ask him. And listen to what he says. A lot of people come to Christ, but they never stay with Christ. They come to Christ today and they run off again. But Jesus says, "Come to me and stay with me." Amen? Let's stand and pray. Lord, thank you so much for your truth that sets us free from sin. Lord, when we had your truth of salvation, forgiveness, mercy and love, Lord, we came in. And when we received you, Lord, we entered a life of freedom. Lord, everybody wants freedom, especially from sin, from slavery of sin, oh God. Jesus, you offer freedom, and that is in your truth, listening to everything you have to say. But I want to pray for each one of us here that we may be committed to your word, that we may be committed to eating all of it, not just the parts that are nice, but the parts that are challenging, and confronting and rebuking as well. Not just the milk, but also the meat and the bones. Lord, we know the benefit. We will be free. We will be free from deception. Lord, I want to pray for those who are out there still deceived. Deceived that there's another way to heaven. Deceived that sin is good for them for a long time. Deceived into many practices of evil. Deceived into terrorism. Deceived into hatred. Deceived into crime. Into theft. Into all sorts of immorality. Lord, may you draw them by your truth, O God. And as we have your truth, Jesus, may you use us to spread your truth. Lord, your word is truth. We want to pray what Jesus prayed for us. Set us apart with your truth. Lord, your word is truth. Lord, thank you so much for the truth that we have and for the freedom that we have in you. Lord, may we grow stronger and stronger in the truth that we have and in the freedom that we have in you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.